Sure. So DecisionLens was founded about 7 years ago. We went live with our first product in 2005. And what we are a collaborative decision support solution where we bring together multiple stakeholders that are involved in a decision, and we work on a set of objectives that they may have around a particular problem, perform trade-offs, and we actually develop a set of priorities that they use to guide investments in programs or projects or people or whatever it might be. So it's a very new type of software technology.
We might consider cloud computing a quote-unquote problem. Tell us a little bit about how you're kind of working with the federal government in terms of cloud.
Absolutely, yeah. So cloud computing, you know, we have a web-based software as a service product. And there are certain federal agencies that, you know, the hosting of data is fairly sensitive to them and who's hosting it and how it's being accessed and things like that. And so I would say where cloud computing is right now is really a hybrid. Depending on the level of importance of the data, sometimes we host it at our data centers, which are at Equinix out in Ashburn, Virginia. Other times we actually deploy the entire web application right inside their network, and they're managing their own cloud. So it's really kind of in between right now. We are seeing some common hosting centers that are approved by the government that are starting to host all these different applications, you know, for different agencies. So they're starting to kind of, you know, corral around that kind of a concept with sort of an approved hosting center.
Now, obviously, one of the biggest issues with cloud computing and why I think some agencies are maybe apprehensive about doing it is because of security issues. You know, if your data is not in your office or you on your PC, who knows what's going on with it? Talk a little bit about some of the maybe broader implications of cloud computing and security. Have you seen some people changing their minds about cloud computing?
That's a good question. I mean, some people are looking, you know, I think you have to always weigh the cost versus the benefits and the potential risks versus the upside and the opportunity of using cloud computing. You know, cloud computing platforms are much easier to manage, much easier to deploy. The data is all residing in one area that is in the cloud that you can actually control a lot more effectively than, you know, if you are trying to manage, you know, desktops or laptops all over an organization running around with different pieces of data. So I think that, you know, the biggest risk is between the person's computer and the actual center and what happens to that data over those lines. But there are new types of encryption technologies that are making the transport of data very robust, very effective. We actually use those at DecisionLens. And so I think over time, as people start to experience it more and more, that those type of concerns are outweighed by the benefits of hosting everything in the cloud.
What do you think is happening in terms of the onus of owning up to a breach? Do you see it as more of the federal agency or the organization having to do their research, or do you see it as the onus lying completely on the person who's hosting the data, or the organization that's hosting the data, I should say?
It's a good question. I mean, I think the onus is absolutely on the organization hosting the data, but something that happens, so for example, we go through a data audits all the time by our customers. I mean, Fortune 500 companies will do a complete end-to-end audit of how our data is handled, everything from the hosting center to our office locations to how we secure things, the different password types that we use. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think, though, on the end of the company's providing the service, that it really benefits them to have already thought through all of that information and provide it right up front in the buying process. And we do that. We have something called a Technical Services and Security Handbook, and that goes to any client who's going to be accessing our software to explain to them, here's all the different processes, procedures, systems, security that we use. It's been audited. Here's the results of the audit, so that they can be comfortable with how we're handling the information.
Excellent. Now let's talk a little bit about the work you guys do with the federal government. I understand you do work with DoD's Office of Operationally Responsive Space. First,
yes.
If you could tell me what that is, and then tell me how you guys are working with them.
Absolutely. So it's a very interesting office. What happened a couple of years ago, when space kind of became open season for conflict between countries, what we realized was, you know, the Chinese actually ran a test on blowing up a satellite that, you know, if our satellites are taken out, typically the cycle time to get a new satellite in space is anywhere from 3 to 5 years. So if all of a sudden a variety of our satellites were taken out by a, you know, enemy of some sort, we're going to be blind in the skies for a long period of time. And so this ORS, the Operational Responsive Space Organization, was created to innovate how satellites and space assets are deployed, try to bring it from 3 to 5 years down to literally 2 weeks. They want to get new assets in place, up in space in 2 weeks. It requires a completely new way of thinking where you're using technologies that are known and maybe you're assembling them in new and innovative ways to really move that cycle time up. So we actually work with them, without going into too much detail, they use Decision Lens to collaboratively decide on vendors that can provide them systems for satellite deployment. So who are the most advanced companies in the space that can help provide either new technologies or delivery vehicles for them to get these things into space much more quickly than it's ever been done before.
Without, again, going into too much detail, because I know, obviously, DOD, and you guys don't want to reveal everything, but is this a process where you sit in an office with someone, or do you telecommute, or maybe just talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So collaborative decision-making, actually, there's two ways that it happens. It's either in meeting rooms where people have keypads, and we're actually facilitating a session where we're talking about what the important criteria are for the judgment. So, for example, if you were going to be selecting a car for yourself, criteria would be things like performance, style, safety, mileage, and then you would go and evaluate the alternatives. How do these different cars perform against the criteria that I've selected? And so we do that in a collaborative way in meetings, or we do it all through the web. So we work broadly with USDA, with DOD, Joint Staff, and the Navy, and Army, Air Force, et cetera, to actually run collaborative decision sessions right down the web where everyone's participating live at the same time.